Senator Dick Durbin, American Families Must Accommodate the World's Ambition to Be Part of America. By Neil Monroe on November 8, 2019. American Families Must Accommodate the World's Ambition to Be Part of the Future of America. Senator Dick Durbin, DEL, told the pro-migration group on Thursday. There has to be an orderly process here, a process that really accommodates the world's ambition to be part of the future of America. He said, although we cannot open our doors to everyone who wants to come through tomorrow. Durbin leads the Democrats' immigration policies. But he did not say how many millions of foreigners should be accommodated in the United States. A 2017 report by Gallup said that 150 million people want to be accommodated in the United States. The number may be far higher, 37 million people from just Central America want accommodation in the United States, the Gallup report noted. But Durbin dismissed Americans' rational worries about the financial and civic impact of diverse, mass migration into their stable and prosperous communities. I think part of the resistance to immigration is primal. It's a stranger. It's a new and unfamiliar face. And the first reaction is, am I all right? Am I going to be safe? Is this person a threat to me? That's part of the primal reaction against immigration. In contrast, Durbin praised migrants, saying, many of them are in some respects even more ambitious and determined than we are in our lives. And they can make our lives better with their contribution. Durbin's comments show how progressives think about Americans, migrants, and the United States as a nation of immigrants, instead of a homeland for Americans. Durbin's comments came during an interview by the head of the National Immigration Forum. The forum works with businesses to deliver cheap migrant labor to employers, such as dairies and Uber, while wrapping the supply of cheap labor in noble and sincere rhetoric. This extra labor supply boosts employers, investors, and landlords, but it also nudges down Americans' wages, nudges up their rents and housing costs, and packs their kids' schools. The forum's director, Ali Nirani, asked Durbin to describe what the phrase "only in America" means to him. Durbin replied, "Only in America, Sister Norma, P. Mantell, in Brownsville, only in America, are there. So many like them who genuinely care and are willing to stand up and fight for some of the poorest people on earth. Struggling to come into this country to get what we all have. A piece of that American dream and opportunity. I think those of us on the Democratic side, generally, have strong feelings on one side of immigration. But we need to open up a conversation with our friends on the Republican side because, like Corey, who stood with us during a critical moment here on a vote, there are Republicans willing to step up and stand up. We have to be honest and thoughtful in our approach to immigration. I'll just come out and tell you I think the three things we need to say before we can appeal to someone who's undecided on this issue. I believe in border security. In an age of terrorism, with the worst drug epidemic in the history of our country, I want to know who's coming into this country and what they're bringing. Secondly, I don't want to knowingly ever allow anyone dangerous to come into this country. And if you are undocumented and commit a serious crime, you've forfeited your right to stay, period. And the third issue is, we cannot open our doors to everyone who wants to come through tomorrow. There has to be an orderly process here, a process that really accommodates the world's ambition to be part of the future of America. Durbin's progressive perspective strongly emphasizes care and fairness for migrants. But that perspective leaves little room to talk about wages, rents, classrooms, opportunities, and fairness for Americans. Conservatives' sensitivity to other virtues, loyalty to fellow Americans, respect for the law, and sanctity for America's homeland, allow them to balance their care for poor migrants with their care for their fellow Americans. Durbin, as usual, dodges the fundamental question of immigration policy, said Mark Krikorian, director of the Center for Immigration Studies. How many? He says we cannot open our doors to everyone who wants to come through tomorrow. Does that mean everyone who wants to come must be let in eventually, just not tomorrow? The World Bank reports that 3.4 billion people live on less than $5.50 a day. If they don't all get to come here, which ones does he propose to exclude? And what does he propose to do about those who try to get around it, but are not violent criminals? Is he willing to deport any nonviolent illegal aliens simply because they violated our immigration limits? Immigration expansionists favor unlimited immigration, but are too afraid to say so openly. Krikorian also shut down Durbin's portrayal of ordinary Americans as primal, saying, "In contrast, business groups' focus on economic growth ensures much overlap with Durbin's moral framework." For example, on November 6, Senator Tom Tillis, RNC, suggested Durbin should drop his Immigration Boosting Relief Act and instead endorse Senator Mike Lee's RUT bill. The Relief Act would boost annual immigration from 1 million a year up to 2.6 million a year for 3 years and then set it at 1.5 million per year. So Durbin's Relief Act would import 18 million people over the next 10 years. That huge inflow amounts to roughly 1 million immigrants for every 2 young Americans who turn 18 during the decade. This huge inflow would transfer trillions of dollars in value from wage earners to coastal investors and landowners. Lee's bill provides fast-track green cards and citizenship to 300,000 Indian visa workers who have already taken jobs from Americans, and it also rewards more Indians who will take jobs from Americans. But it does not increase the immigration of Democrat-leaning voters, so GOP legislators favor Lee's bill, Tillis said. "I hope that Senator Durbin and others who recognize that the high-skilled workers in this country, we do have a shortage, we do need to fix a number of problems, but I don't think it can be fixed with a Durbin Relief Act. I encourage Senator Durbin to work with Senator Lee and the 34 other Senate members who are working on a bipartisan basis to address this, to work together so that we can bring Lee's Fairness for High-Skill Immigrants Act to the floor and send it to the House for consideration." In his comments at the forum, Durbin repeatedly demonstrated his sincere and deep emotional and ideological support for mass migration. For example, he told a progressive's creation story. "So yesterday on the floor of the Senate, I told my 118th story of a DACA dreamer. This is a dreamer named Ernesto, Ph., who is in Dodge City, Kansas. Brought here as a little boy, unable to speak or read English. He persevered, undocumented, and got a master's degree from Wichita State University. And now he's the assistant city manager of Dodge City, Kansas, this DACA recipient. There's a story that kind of demonstrates don't be afraid of the primal level of these new people, they're just like us. And many of them are in some respects even more ambitious and determined than we are in our lives. And they can make our lives better with their contribution. So we have to deal with the primal issue and the political issue and do what I think in human terms, and it works." Durbin told the story about a progressive version of sin. "I believe this president has poisoned the well. I believe that when he calculates what it takes to appeal to his base, there is no room for accommodation on immigration. And if you listen to the rhetoric of President Trump after the first year in office, it sounded that way. He was saying positive things about these young people and how important they are to our future. But then in September of 2017 he abolished DACA. Next week, the Supreme Court will hear this case. 800,000 lives hanging in the balance because he decided to abolish this program. I think it's built into his political calculation. I can't imagine that he believes he can walk away from this base on this issue. I'm just pray that I'm wrong." Durbin also told a touching story about his own conversion into immigration advocacy. "Behind my desk in the Capitol building is my mother's naturalization certificate. Before she passed away, I asked her if she knew where it was. Though she was not in the greatest health, she jumped right up and went running in and came out with a brown envelope. A big brown envelope, and I opened it up and pulled out her naturalization certificate. And this little piece of paper fluttered to the floor, and I picked it up, and I said, 'What's this, Mom?' She says, 'That's my receipt for paying the filing fee of $2.50 when I became a citizen.' I said, 'Why did you keep this? If the government ever challenges me, I can prove that I paid the $2.50. That was my mom. But that certificate sits behind my desk with a little receipt in the corner of it, as a reminder of who I am and how lucky I am to be here because of my immigrant grandparents who had the courage to leave everything behind, come to a place where they didn't even speak the language in the hopes that future generations in their family would have a better life. So that's how I got started." Durbin's faith in immigration is being tested by the S.386 debate, where migrants from India are demanding nearly all of the employer-based, EB, green cards for the next 10 years. That Indian first demand would strip green cards from many other would-be immigrants and fuel workplace discrimination against Americans. but conservatives have their own touching stories, which highlight their balanced moral perspective on migration. One victim of the H-1B outsourcing trend was Donna B. She is now retired to a small town in Arizona and earns so little money that she is not required to pay off the $50,000 in student loans she still owes from her software education in 1989. Divorced and with five children, I was 36 years old when I started, in 1989, she told Breitbart News. After her first job in Connecticut, she moved to Arizona by 1993, where she met her first Indian H-1B workers. They did not mix with any of us and could not speak English, she said. I never found a job after that. I applied for tons of jobs. Tons. I never got a response except thank you for applying. Many of the job interviews were conducted with Indians from the outsourcing companies, each of which has an economic incentive to fill jobs with cheap Indian H-1Bs, not Americans, she said. I've gotten calls, and I've gotten emails from Indians. When applying for jobs, it just goes nowhere, she said. Last year, I retired, so my retirement is peanuts, she said. I live in a tiny town called Arizona City, which doesn't have mail service. In October, Breitbart News reported. Senator Tom Tillis, RNC, has introduced legislation known as S.2059. To give victims of illegal alien crime the right to sue sanctuary jurisdictions for protecting criminal illegal aliens. A bill, Marianne Mendoza unequivocally said she supports. Mendoza mentioned the case of 23-year-old Aaron Hampton, who was allegedly murdered by an illegal alien who had been shielded from deportation by former President Obama's Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, DACA, program. In November 2018, Aaron Hampton was shot more than 25 times by a repeat offender criminal illegal alien in Springfield, Missouri, Mendoza described. ICE had a detainer on Luis Perez and requested Middlesex County, New Jersey to hold him before deportation proceedings following his arrest for felony crimes that included assault, aggravated assault, and child abuse. Had the ICE detainer been honored, as every detainer should be, Aaron Hampton would be alive today, Mendoza said. Make no mistake, Luis Perez is a repeat offender criminal illegal alien from Mexico who has no right to live in our country. Trump's officials are also searching for balance. The president has made no secret of the fact that he believes immigration, first and foremost, is set up to work for America. That means economically and for the people here. Trump's citizenship chief Ken Cuccinelli told reporters at an October 16 press breakfast organized by the Christian Science Monitor. There is a lot of pressure in various sectors to utilize more immigrant labor for employment, whether it is for high-tech or low-tech in the economy. But the president has also made clear that it is important to protect ordinary American workers and to not displace them, said Cuccinelli, who runs the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services Agency. Finding the right balance between helping American workers and American investors is a constant political dilemma, Cuccinelli said.